Hello and welcome everyone to Current Events, the podcast about what two randos on the internet are watching on television. And tonight we're going to be talking about Mandalorian. And when I say that, I mean the episode we've been waiting for 4 weeks. I'm Jake McMillan, and joining me is my good friend Mike Slocum. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
So what do you think? We got there.
We got there, and you know what? I'm a little disappointed.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
But we'll go over that.
Yeah, let's get anyway. Into it then.
Yeah.
It opens on a really nice looking, dreary.
Decimated planet.
Yes. But what I meant by nice looking is it's done well, right? I mean, it's very eerie and smoky, and you know, there's really nothing left of the trees. There are giant animals just biting off the tops of these dead trees to eat.
Giant lizard things.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, out there in the woods, outside the walls of the city, there's a firefight raging.
Yes.
And what you see is, first, a bunch of blaster bolts, but then all of a sudden you see a couple of white lights. Lines. And there she is, just without any preamble, it's Ahsoka Tano.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I just cannot tell you how happy that made me.
Yes.
And especially because, you know, it's Rosario Dawson, and she's so good in this role. I mean, she just nails it. You know, it's just awesome. Oh, yeah. And then she goes through and just works her way through the soldiers that are out there, just sort of disappearing into the smoke. Okay. Popping up long enough to chop off a head, and then going back dark again.
Yeah, I got to say that the fight scenes, they finally figured out their fight scenes. Up close and personal.
Right.
In dark, murky things, so you don't have to deal with, like, the fact that they're working in this small studio.
Right.
To, the fight scenes came off really, really well.
I think my complaints about the fight scenes on the previous episodes was just that they were just sort of lackluster. They didn't really put a lot into them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a moment. I mean, this was getting. I mean, for me, anytime you get to watch a Jedi work, right? After growing up with the original movies and hardly ever seeing anything, and kind of wondering in the back of your mind, why are these Jedi so, you know, impressive? They don't really do that much. And of course, now we see them. You know, I think probably the first time for me was when I saw Rogue One at the end, mm-hmm. when Darth Vader goes through and just slashes his way. I mean, it was insane. And I just thought, oh my God, this is what a Jedi can do, you mm-hmm. know? And so seeing Ahsoka Tano go through this and just play the pieces, you know, like she's playing a chessboard, was just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I always like the Jedi scenes.
Yes.
And you know, it was so classic. It's she's off the scope. Well, draw her out. And I'm like, no, you draw her out. Going out there. Yeah. Yeah. Gets up to the gate and tells them to surrender.
Yeah, she tells an entire city to surrender. You have one day. And so then she wants something from the cruel magistrate who has taken control of this city.
Yes, or this planet or something.
Yeah, effect. Whatever. We find a little bit more about her later, but apparently this character was created for the show, so there's no history. I checked the Wikipedia.
And when you see the shot too, it's a big city. It's, you know, it's got stuff way up in the background and stuff. We don't see much of it.
Right.
You know, it looks like a little village when we see the inside, but from the long shots, it's big. It's a big place.
Yeah. It's kind of like the part we see is the outer bailey of a castle, right? Not the inside. So, she demands the information. We don't know what that is yet. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the ship and the Razor Crest.
I want to say that Michael Biehn, being the chief enforcer there. Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the hired gun. I actually have that note later because I didn't recognize his face,
but
I recognized his voice.
Voice.
Yeah. Yep. He's obviously gotten older.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the last time I really saw him was in the Take Me Home Tonight movie, which was, I don't know, 15 years ago. So it's been a while. Yeah.
So they're on their way to Corvus.
Yeah. So the baby is obsessed with the shiny ball on top of the ship.
The kid wants that knob, man.
Uses the force to get it.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. And when they land, this is not a happy place. This is a decimated planet. It's Mando comes out and not much here.
He makes mention, or Ahsoka Tano makes mention mm-hmm. later that this woman who is the magistrate made her riches by just sucking the resources out of planets and leaving nothing there.
Yep.
And so obviously she's been at work here too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, because the planet is just dead. All that's left is the city. Yes. You know, where she has people, in cages.
Yeah, and the beast, except for the beasts that gnaw on the dead wood mm-hmm. or whatever they do.
Yeah,
I find it's interesting in this universe where everybody's very suspicious, but they always take everyone at their word. It's like,
right.
You know, it's like the Jedi said, surrender one day. Okay, well, like, okay, I guess, Mando walks in and they, you Mandalorian? Yeah. Guild? Yeah. Okay, come on in. It's like, what?
It's like, are they not connected to a network? They can just run a quick background check and find out that he's no longer with the guild. And his response, by the way, was last time I checked.
Which hasn't been for quite a while.
That's a way to not say no, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So he carries in. I've got a note. I was like, whoa, he just took the baby right into that city.
Yeah, I know.
So that was crazy. And because knowing that the bounty hunters are out there looking for the baby, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he walks in and it tries to talk to people, but basically it's off to see the magistrate.
Yeah. It's wizard. A pretty tight ship under the magistrate. Everybody's afraid to even talk to a stranger, which has a very Western feel, right? This entire episode, which was written and directed by Dave Filoni. And if you watched the companion series about the making of mm-hmm. this, when they talk a lot with Dave Filoni, and he's the world's biggest Star Wars expert, right? But he's also a big lover of Westerns. And so, this is just his groove,
Mm-hmm.
And so he's done such an excellent job with this show. And this episode is really just peak Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely peak Mandalorian. But so we find out that from the magistrate that a Jedi is plaguing her and wants Mandalorian to kill her.
Yes, which works out well because he's looking for the Jedi.
Yeah, and my price is high. She offers him a Beskar spear. I'm curious, how did she get that? And he never says he'll do it. He just says, where do I find this Jedi?
Yeah.
So yet another, last time I checked. Yeah, where do I find this Jedi?
One of the benefits of being a taciturn person, right, saying very little, is that people have a tendency to fill in the spaces for you.
Oh, yes.
Right? So you can say things like, last time I checked, and that's the end of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
not I asked you yes or no.
No, yeah, exactly.
So again, he kind of doesn't agree, doesn't disagree, and finds out where he's supposed to go find Ahsoka Tano.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people being tortured right out front.
Yeah, it's odd torture cells, but it's like the old stock, Or the murder cages. What did they call those? I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know what they were. I've got my note is here, as usual, it's hell for the people and paradise for the ruler.
Yep. Yes.
And so we're going to find out something interesting in a minute about Beskar. Right.
Yes, we are. Yeah, I really like the interaction as he leaves is like, what is that thing? Well, mm-hmm. I keep it around for luck. You're gonna need it where you're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and that's when I have my note. Oh, that's Michael Bane. I recognize his voice. Yeah. So Mando uses his predator sight to track her, and then there is a very short fight.
Yes.
But I mean, mostly because he doesn't want to kill her. You know, he shouts out, "Ahsoka Tano, I'm been looking for you," right?
Yeah.
But we find out that Beskar is resistant to lightsabers.
Sabers, yes, that was a great. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So that, yeah, and of course, I immediately thought, that spear is made of, the staff is made of Beskar, which means we know it's going to happen later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this also, you know, may fill in a few things like, you know, the interface between the lightsaber and the handle. You know, well, okay, if you made it out of Beskar, then I get it. You know,
right.
The lightsaber doesn't melt the handle. The movie in whichever one it was, the one of the Star Wars sequels where, can't remember his name, Ben had a lightsaber that had the little things coming out the sides.
Oh, right, right, yeah, it caused no end of controversy.
Yes.
But from the Canaanites.
Canaanites, yes. But anyway, so yeah. But yeah. So very interesting. Yeah, you know, Bo-Katan sent me. She's like, well, I hope it's about him.
Yeah, who's just sitting right there. Yeah,
that's right.
And Rosario Dawson is just perfect for this role. I mean, mm-hmm. she carries herself exactly like Ahsoka Tano. She looks like her. They've got her done up just perfectly. I did have a question, though. One thing I've always kind of wondered about Ahsoka is if that's her hair or a hat.
It's part of their head.
It is part of her head. Okay.
It's part of her head. Okay. It's just like in, I was reading about this, her race tends to have the three appendages that come mm-hmm. off their head. Whereas there's another race, if you remember, in the one of the like Empire Strikes Now, Return of the Jedi. There's another
Jedi,
race that has
yes.
just two of these,
and they're longer, right?
Yes, and it turns out that there's some controversy about this. Is that Ahsoka Tano's, her race, the head things are only supposed to grow longer, and by the end of like Clone Wars, they were down to her waist, and they got a lot shorter here. The reason they did that, they believe, is because otherwise the fight scenes would have been unwieldy.
Yeah.
You can't move around fast if you've got this really heavy prosthesis on your head. It would, you know. So they compromised, I think, to make the action scenes look better. And they were very good. They were very good.
Oh, they were good. It looked perfect to me because I didn't finish watching the Clone Wars, so that's mm-hmm. what she looked like to me when I quit watching, right? So, mm-hmm. I was just thrilled. She just did a great job. She has a little telepathic conversation with, it's not really a conversation, she's just basically sharing memories with him. Mm-hmm. And this actually disturbs Grogu, which is his name, and because something happened to him when he was taken from the Jedi Temple while being trained, and I think we know that it has something to do with them trying to collect the midichlorian blood for their weird experiments.
Yes, could
so
be.
So he must have hurt and traumatized Grogu.
Yes.
They ever say how old he is?
Well, they think he's around 50.
Okay.
It's also that kind of mentions, he says, I've only ever seen one other of his race, and we know from the Clone Wars that would be
Yoda.
Master Yoda. But she wants to know if he can still wield the Force, interestingly enough. Mando basically says, I've been tasked to bring him to a Jedi. But she lets him know the order fell long ago. And I personally think that that Grogu's experience might be part of the fall of the Jedi. Is that, you know, it's very possible that he was there when they were slaughtered.
He could have been there on Coruscant when the order came down, whatever it was called,
Order 66 or something.
Whatever it was, yeah. Should have been 86, but yeah.
Yeah. yes.
This is a note that I've got later because they talk about Michael Bain's character being ex-military and a hired gun, and I'm like, well, you know, who cares? There was never a military that could take on the Jedi. They had to resort to treachery to kill them, you know?
But, so, you know, Mando's still kind of, it's like, well, you know, the Empire fell too, but they're still hunting him. So, you know, you got to help us.
Ahsoka is very hesitant to train him. And I think even before she discovers that he has, that he has a lot of fear, right? Probably because her master, when she was a Padawan, was this guy named Darth Vader. Well, he later became Darth Vader.
Anakin was her mentor until he turned, and that's why I'm thinking that, because that's why I'm wondering is if Grogu was somehow on Coruscant when that whole thing came down.
Could be, and then of course he did eventually fall into the hands of the. Grand Moff, or you know, of Moff Gideon. So you know, in his experiments. So yeah, he's the little guy's been through a lot. And I don't know. I know that they lived to be very old. You know, I think 800 years for Yoda or something like that.
900 years.
900. Yeah.
900 years old. You are.
But he does not seem very advanced for having been around 50 years and spent years training, you know, and then in years in hiding. He almost seems to have receded a little bit into his childhood, you know, because of his fear. And Ahsoka is right. The fear is the worst thing for a Jedi, you know. You don't train them.
But anyway, so yeah, they table it till the morning, and in the morning, you know, it's like the classic, take the stone from my hand.
And he doesn't want to play, and eventually she gets Mando to do it, and you know, he still doesn't want to play, so Mando smartly pulls the shiny knob
out, yes.
and offers it, and zip, you know, it's right there. So it's very smart. But at this point, she realizes, Ahsoka realizes that the baby has an incredibly strong connection
attachment
to Mando. So she can't just, you know, take him away, especially
that makes him vulnerable as well. So the combination of his attachment and his fear is just too much for her. She won't train him.
Because she's afraid what will happen. I've seen what such fears can do to a fully trained Jedi. And of course she's talking about the best of us. That was one of the reasons I had a hard time watching Clone Wars, or was it Star Wars Rebels? I cannot remember. But it was the one where Anakin was one of the main characters.
Clone Wars, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and Ahsoka was his Padawan. And it was just so weird to be just watching this guy do heroic stuff and just think, well, what? You know, he's gonna turn so bad. So they decide, he kind of makes a deal. She does kind of a Mandalorian thing where he kind of makes a deal with her that, you know, if I'll help you take the city if you'll train the kid. And she's kind of, she doesn't really say yes, you know. You know, leaves a little door open for later.
This is where we found out that the magistrate has like plundered the world and is still in business. And you know, she says, well, we've got to go, you know, I need to get answers. And he's a great line, a Mandalorian and a Jedi,
they'll never see it coming. I didn't know what was going to happen at this point. My first thought was, oh, we're going to do the standard thing where he carries her to the gate, right, as if she's dead, and then they get inside and they just start shooting like the Wild Bunch, you know. But it was so much better than that.
It was a very nice surprise, surprise attack, and
there's just this nice. I think my Jedi favorite scene from the whole show was when she comes running up, and they're like, our point of view is from the parapet, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, they're shooting down and she's running and flicking the bolts back, right? Mm-hmm. And then she disappears from sight, and then all of a sudden she just comes over the top, and they're like, what? You know, and she just goes through, and then she cuts that bell in half.
Cutting the bell scene, that was exquisite.
I love it when it's like when she chops that tree in half in the beginning, right? It's like love seeing what a lightsaber can do, you know. And it is funny that he calls it a laser sword, which was the original name before they rewrote the script. So she just basically just starts going through them until she gets into trouble.
Yep. Well, and they knew she was going to be outgunned, or there would be going to be too much fire.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. No, she runs. I forgot. This is my favorite part. She basically approaches the magistrate and tosses down a piece of Beskar.
Yes.
And says, "Your hired
bounty
gun.
Hunter failed."
Yeah, your bounty hunter failed, and so then they just like kill her, and they start fighting again, and she turns to her killer droids or whatever, or some soldiers,
droids.
Yeah. But it's actually the soldiers, because they get killed, right? And we know that the assassin droids make it to the end of the fight.
Yes.
So she leaves, being chased by the assassin droids and Michael Biehn.
And a few of the others.
And so she turns to some soldiers and says, execute them to the prisoners. And then she disappears inside. And just before they can do that, Zoom comes the Mandalorian, and he solves that problem.
Yeah, we get it was really nice. He and the enforcer have a little soldier showdown, and but there was the Mandalorian music cut in there for a second. You know, it was just like, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. Yep. So the guy who I think is supposed to be the actual magistrate of this city, who has had a few interactions with Mando, comes out and helps him cut down the prisoners and set them free, and then essentially what it eventually works out to is that after Ahsoka takes out the two droids and makes them into six droids.
One of the two droids.
Yeah, she goes into... Oh, right, one of the two droids. Okay. She goes into the inner sanctum to face the magistrate. And
they do the classic fight on the bridge.
Yeah, so basically Mando's job is just to stand between Michael Biehn and the inner sanctum, right? So that that the fight can happen on its own, and so Michael Biehn tries the old, you know, we're a lot alike, you and me,
yeah,
which we've all heard, a thousand times.
Yeah.
And Mando is quite, he's well aware that this guy is a heel.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So you can hear the fight going on inside,
and
Michael Biehn's. Says, yeah. You don't know which side's going to win. Could be my side, could be your side.
Yep. Right. But yeah, then we cut into the fight. So cinematographical point
of
view.
I would just say from the point of view of cinematography.
Very good fight. Mm-hmm. From the point of view of an actual fight with staff and sticks, I got to say it was really poorly choreographed.
I always have trouble when a Jedi goes up against a normal person and has any trouble at all.
Well, and also, it's just, this isn't how you use those weapons. I mean, martial arts background. Mm-hmm. You never like try and press your, I'm going to overpower you with this.
Right.
It's like, it just, there were so many missed opportunities for both of them to like counterattack, and they never did. It was way too slow. It just, fights like that are over in seconds. So anyway, this was the first thing that really pulled me out of the episode. And as good as it, and as fun as it was to watch, it just was like, no, wait, why didn't you just you know, flick, you know, bounce off the staff and flick it around and take her hand off. Or when you had her, you know, crossed over, just take the staff and, you know, you basically flip it up and hit her in the, you know,
mm-hmm.
hit her in the arm. It struck me as this is someone's idea of what a fight would look like instead mm-hmm. of actually asking, well, how would this really look?
There is one difficulty that I think you're overlooking, which is the fact that she didn't want to kill her. Ahsoka wanted to keep her alive, right?
Oh,
so
sure.
She couldn't do a lot of things like, you know, take her head off when she had the chance.
Right, but she could have taken her wrist off or, mm-hmm. you know, or a foot or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, or even just, you know, bounced like when Darth Vader bounced the lightsaber off Luke's shoulder, you know, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know. A wound. Anyway, it was just, and the lady who had the staff, she had so many opportunities to counterattack, and she just never took them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she didn't really know how to fight, mm-hmm. and so Kitano was just, you know, like almost dragging it out. I don't know. Anyway, so but anyway,
yeah,
so
it
we
may
move
have
on.
Been,
but
it may have been. I mean, I'm gonna make excuses here because I really mm-hmm. enjoyed the show. It may have been that her goal. The entire time was to get her blade up against the magistrate's throat,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I don't want to take off her wrist. I don't want to put her in shock. I don't want to kill mm-hmm. her. I want to put her in a position where she's completely beaten, and then give her a choice,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so she may have been largely playing with her.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I thought might happen was that, you know. She did get one of her lightsabers knocked away into the water, mm-hmm. and what we've seen with that before is to have it called back with the blade
yeah.
out.
Yeah, she has so many, or why didn't she just, you know, while she's sitting there pushing, like suddenly use a force push to like knock her over or something.
Oh yeah,
I
think that that was not her goal, right? So,
yeah.
you know, my feeling was she was just going to wear her out and then wait for the opening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which she eventually found and put a blade up there and say, look, this is your choice. I told you I was going to give you a choice and here is the choice, right? And
yeah.
so we don't know what happened in there.
Yeah.
You know, except for the fact that we don't even know if she found out where Thrawn is.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
so,
we cut back to the soldier still
right.
trying to bargain and like, sounds like you win.
Yeah. yeah. You hear the clang of the
clang,
yeah.
The Beskar hitting the deck.
And then Bean, for some reason, tries one.
Well, he puts down his gun.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna be sneaky here,
mm-hmm.
and then goes for his pistol and loses.
Yeah, and the only reason I could think for that is just personal pride. You know,
yeah.
he just didn't want to be beaten, so mm-hmm. he decided because I mean he basically a Mandalorian had the drop on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he tried something anyway, which just seems incredibly stupid.
Yes.
Yeah. So he gets shot, and then there the last assassin droid pops up and gets a blaster bolt through the head.
Yep.
And it takes care of that. And
you were right. We never heard how she answered. You know, to where's your master, Grand Admiral Thrawn? Did she find out? You know, we don't see the boss anymore, or, you know, the magistrate. I just don't know what happened there.
I don't either. It's a Disney show, so maybe
right.
she cut her to pieces until she
yes.
told her where he was, and we didn't want to see it. But she didn't come back out, and
yeah.
the guy took the magistrate clothing and took the spot, right? So
mm-hmm.
we have to assume that she's not a problem anymore.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then she gives the Beskar staff to Mando
mm-hmm.
as his payment, and
yep.
that's pretty cool. And then my note here is, oh please, oh please, oh please, keep Ahsoka Tano on the show,
mm-hmm.
and then that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was, so yeah, you know, so anyway, to close out, yeah, the kid refuses to wake up and go. So Kitano punts on training him, sends Mando off to get another planet where Grogu can choose his path,
mm-hmm.
maybe another Jedi will search for him and train him.
Was it Was it Coruscant? Coruscant?
No, I didn't write it down. Yeah, it was somewhere.
Because it's where a Jedi temple is. There's a mountain. No, I think it was. It's a different place. But yeah. I guess they had temples all over the place back when they were they were the big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, all in all, I mean, I liked the story. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Mandalorian. But they just had such a good opportunity for Sokka Tano to go with him.
Oh, I know.
Why did they blow that? It's like she doesn't have any attachment to this planet. She's hunting to find this admiral.
Yeah.
Why didn't she just, unless she's got her own ship, but even then, why didn't she go with Mando? You know, it was like, it was just, and it would have set up such a great storyline for continuing it, because my problem with this episode was it was another, Mando comes in, helps somebody solve a problem, gets a little teaser about what to happen next, where to go next, and then is gone. He's back on his own. But to build up a story where, you know, suddenly you start accumulating allies who are going to help you. This is what made the last two episodes in the first season so good, is he had to go and get help. He couldn't do it by himself. He had to go get help to on his quest. But now he's just, you know, he's back off on his quest alone, and, you know, maybe she'll be back, and I don't know, but they've only got three more episodes, and it would have been a great opportunity and that's what pissed me off about this episode, is that one episode? I mean, it just,
I mean, I can only hope that this, one of two things, she's going to be back on this show, or they were priming her for her own show.
Yeah, who knows? Know? Yep.
I mean, I would watch that show 100 times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was very good, and I would really like to see her. I would really like to see her in more episodes, and I would have really liked to have been hooked to say, yeah, look, she's going with Mando. She's in the next episode. We're going to have some more good stuff here.
Yeah, one of the things that we liked, as you said, about the first season was that he gradually built up a team that he would need at the end of the season to conquer the last obstacle, which is something that we really like. In this one, everyone seems to be disposable.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's happened in the first five episodes so far. Yeah. They've only got three more to go.
Yeah, and I remember when we were doing the podcast on the first season, we were kind of like, well, some of these episodes are kind of one-offs.
Yep.
You know, it's like they go, they do the thing, and then they leave, and that's it. It doesn't really seem to build towards anything. Mm-hmm. And that is, they've been really the first four episodes, and maybe even the fifth. We don't know what's going to happen with Ahsoka yet.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that they cast those actors to play Bo-Katan and Ahsoka Tano, right? And for one-offs.
I agree, but so far the record is, you know, unless everybody comes back together in the last couple episodes, surprisingly, we have no hint of this, you know. And you think that they would leave. I mean, we've just gotten these little, end of every episode, we get this little thread, you know, here's the next lead. But it doesn't feel like we're building anything here, which is why I think they missed a great opportunity. So I don't know, but I'm not the writer. So
yeah, and we'll see. We'll see what's going on. They may have gotten direction from Disney saying we want more one-offs and less, you know,
less arc.
Yeah, less arc, more one-offs. I don't know, but it's a, or it could be that just the theme of this season is the man with no name. You know, he's just no attachments. Just kind of comes in and out.
But that makes it harder for the watchers to really invest in it. From, you know, it's like it's just another episode. Oh, I watch it whenever, you know, it doesn't really matter if I miss one. Like, you want it to matter if you miss one of these episodes. You've only got eight of them.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think I have a sort of a base level faith in Dave Filoni and John Favreau, they did a really good job last year, and you know, I just sort of feel like they know what they're doing.
I right? hope so.
Yeah, sure, and if not, so. Then yeah, it's gonna be kind of an unwelcome surprise that yes. they kind of checked out in the second season or whatever. But yeah, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Hopefully,
that's the advantage.
Hopefully, what's actually happening here is that Jon Favreau is off developing the Ahsoka Tano Bo-Katana buddy cop series.
Buddy cop. Yeah, flying around,
cleaning up the world, the galaxy. Okay. But anyway, so we did that.
We did that. And it was fun. I mean, it was fun.
It's definitely fun. I mean, I could watch the opening sequence with Rosario Dawson over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Never be
it
disappointed.
Was very good.
So, yeah, absolutely. All right, good. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you on Wednesday as we catch up to Star Trek Discovery.
Woohoo. Later, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody.